We are ready to hear from Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR, on what's happening. And everyone wants to know what's happening or what's happened this week because of the weather. I know you gave us a tantalizing tidbit last Friday. And so the questions I'm hearing people would love for you to respond to, Kenny, are, well, first, let me just make sure you're there. Hello?
Hi there.
Okay.
I am here.
Good. And we did, you know, we actually didn't have the most intense weather, although we did have very intense wind. I'll say that, like with some of those deep roaring gusts and some pretty big waves on Lake Superior. We got about 3 or 4 inches the first round and, you know, just 2 to 3 down in Two Harbors the second round. But everybody was hearing about what's happening all over North America. And so people are wondering, you know, was this part of this stratospheric event that you were talking about last week?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was. So great question. So as we discussed, about 3 weeks ago now, there was a sudden stratospheric warming event that kind of broke the polar vortex. And that is what happens is there's this gigantic cylinder of rotating air around the pole, and it keeps the cold air kind of confined to the polar regions, and it can reverse directions and sort of break down, and the cold air comes spilling out. And then lobes of the polar vortex can break off. Basically, there haven't been any actual polar vortex type events in North America where the core of the cold moves right across us. But there have been that initial flood of cold air slammed down into the northern United States and basically ran into a somewhat warmer air mass. And oddly, there was almost nothing to the east of this kind of collision zone. And it ended up forming this gigantic low pressure area, which had an unusually long warm front that basically extended from the Rockies right out to the Atlantic Ocean. And the storm system that formed kind of moved along that temperature boundary along and ended up producing widespread precipitation covering that entire belt from Wyoming to Maine and into the water. Ooh. In that band that includes, you know, Minnesota, parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, it goes into southern Ontario, then skips over that through the Great Lakes into New York and New England and then out into the ocean. This area, that entire region received simultaneous precipitation on Wednesday night, where it was snowing or raining, mostly snowing, but a lot of snow, some rain everywhere along that band during parts of Wednesday night. So it was related to that, the breakdown of the polar vortex, but it wasn't one of these polar vortex events like the type we had in 2019 or in 2014 when we were plunged into a very cold winter, or like the type that hit New England a few weeks ago when they had wind chills of 108 below on Mount Washington. Hmm. So it wasn't one of those, but it was probably related to the flood of cold air that inundated Canada and the northern parts of the U.S. after that breakdown of the polar vortex.
Yeah. And now, when you talked about it before, I know you were saying like it potentially is a global weather causing shift. And like, did Russia and Eurasia and Europe get also crazy stuff like this, or did it all spill in one direction?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And we've been so fixated on the weather in North America that I can't. I can't speak with much intelligence about what's been happening weather-wise elsewhere. But I will say, once you get, you know, once this boundary kind of breaks down, and even if the air's not super cold, where it is able to kind of go deeper into lower latitudes, you often do get, you know, fairly large or energetic weather systems, because those systems really do feed off of the contrast. So the temperature contrast. You know, that's why a lot of our big weather systems have really sharp cold fronts behind them with big temperature changes, or there's just, you know, a 40 or 50 degree temperature boundary. It's because those two things feed off of each other. The storms help actually reinforce some of the temperature differences, and the temperature differences often are what help energize the storm. So it's this kind of cyclic feedback mechanism that develops. So, although I can't say for sure what happened, I wouldn't be surprised at all if there were some really big storms in parts of Europe during this time.
Okay. Another question that's been coming at me to ask you is this something that is conceivably different because of chaotic climate, or is it just purely, like, how often does this spinning change direction? That's, I guess, another question.
Yeah, this is one of the hotly discussed and debated topics in the climate science community. So stratospheric warming events have, on one hand, they've always been there. And they are, so there isn't anything unusual about having one. There isn't anything unusual about having the polar vortex break off and, plunge across parts of the United States.
Yeah.
What is different, however, is that the, and this is just factual, that as the temperatures have risen, and we'll just talk about the northern hemisphere for now, because it's really the northern hemisphere polar vortex that we're talking about.
Yep.
So the temperatures have risen, but they have done this faster at the poles and in the high latitudes than in, say, at the equator and in the tropics. So, for example, temperatures are warming, depending on how you look at it, several times faster during winter than summer across most of the northern hemisphere, and then also a couple to a few times faster in the continental high latitude regions than in the more southerly regions.
Right.
So what that means is northern Canada and, northern Siberia are warming at much faster rates than, say, the Central America, southern Mexico, even the southern U.S. And what that means is that the overall temperature contrast is actually going down, right? So both, like, the whole hemisphere
right.
is warming, but the coldest areas are warming fastest, meaning you have a smaller difference between the coldest areas and the warmest areas. And what that actually does is that destabilizes or kind of weakens the jet stream, which is, in a way, it's part of the belt that kind of keeps that whole polar vortex thing locked up and tight. And so one of the things that we know is that basically as the northern hemisphere or the northern latitudes warm faster than the southern ones, it ends up decreasing the temperature gradient, which weakens the overall jet stream. And it's been documented that the jet stream, especially in the wintertime, is slowing down. And that jet stream, the one that steers our weather systems around and also serves as our functional boundary between really cold air to the north and much warmer, at least mild air to the south, that when that boundary becomes wavier, it allows, you can get these big ridges or surges of warm air on one side, and you can get sort of deep surges of cold air on the other. And also the jet stream is part of the polar vortex. It's kind of like the belt line of it. And so one of the things that we know is that while these stratospheric warming events have always occurred and they're, there's nothing unusual about having one, there is at least some sense that there's a change in either their frequency or their tendencies. And the tendency being maybe cold air penetrating farther to the south and warm air shooting farther to the north than would have been typical historically. And
yeah.
So, for example, even though it wasn't unprecedented when that cold air surged down into Texas, they had had that level of cold before. It's the kind of thing that we've started seeing more of, these kind of long, narrow zones of extreme cold. And then similarly in the summer of 2021, so just several months later, when we had this incredible heat dome, they called it, over the
yeah.
Pacific Northwest and into Canada, that was basically the opposite, right?
Yeah.
It was you had a deep trough somewhere to the west or to the east of that, and this was a big ridge where the warm air and really hot air got way farther to the north than would be typical. It was basically the desert moved over the northwest. And these two things are considered to be part of what's changing as the climate changes. So even though the existence of the polar vortex, you know, these intrusions into the U.S., that's not really a new thing, but their behavior appears to be potentially new as the hemisphere warms and as you get warmer winters, and especially warmer winters in the areas that have a lot of winter.
Good. Well, that's a nice, thank you for that summary. I feel like our understanding of the very intricate interworkings of weather and climate are slowly becoming accessible to average listeners like people here. So thank you. And very briefly, what's coming?
Okay. Well, we're in a stormy pattern, and that's all I could say. You know, the
okay.
Southern and central Minnesota just got a foot of snow, 12 to 20 inches. There's about 5 to 12 inches in northeastern Minnesota over the last week. Looks like over the next week, we got a rainy thing coming on Monday. And then maybe some snow behind that. And then a chance for some heavier snow in your neck of the woods next week. So another 5 to 12 inches of snow with some rain mixed in.
Okay. Well, we are duly warned. Thanks so much, Kenny. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Wonderful. Thanks. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Yeah. Bye-bye. That was Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR, giving us his weather tidbits.